because my time has really been fast spent. Jonah chapter 1. I've never really preached from the book of Jonah. This will be quite a time. Jonah chapter 1. I'm going to read from verse 1 to 3. Many of you will not think that Jonah will lead us to love, but just stay with me. You will see that Jonah is simply us today. In fact, if you were going to title what I'm going to talk about this morning, you can say, I am Jonah. You can say, I'm Jonah. Don't worry, you get to where you flip it. Jonah chapter 1, I'm from verse 1. The Bible says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come before me. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. I said the title of this, my brief exhortation this morning, is I Am Jonah. And I flipped that up from one of our presidents many years ago, who went to Germany and said, Ich bin ein Berliner. And then, you know, if it was in social media days, they would have said, that trended, that went viral. And what he was simply doing was that he was identifying with the people of Germany. I mean, and in those days, there was West and East Germany, you know. And he was identifying with them that he's a Berliner. He wanted them to see how what was happening in Germany concerned them. This morning, and through this exposition, some of this teaching that we're going to have this month, I want you to see yourself in the story of Jonah. And don't be quick to remove yourself from what you are seeing from scriptures. Because every scripture, you remember 2 Corinthians 3:16, it says all scriptures is profitable, including the scripture of Jonah. Because usually, especially if you grew up in children's church, we learned the story of Jonah, and some of us, the lessons we took from the story of Jonah was sleep. Amen? You know, so whenever you hear, don't do like Jonah, the first thing many people think about is that Jonah slept, you know. And then another thing that people think about is that Jonah ran away, which was true. So, but this morning, if you see from that scripture, the Bible said there was a word from the Lord. And I need you to understand that there is usually something that God is saying. God is the God that rules by his word. And many a times, when God has spoken, if he doesn't find compliance, his next instruction is his last instruction. And there are many of us, if we want to identify with Jonah this morning, the first thing we will have to identify is that, what is the last instruction of God to you? The next instruction of God is usually the last instruction of God. I've met many people that will say something like, God does not talk to me. Do you know why many people seemingly don't hear God? It is when they hear him once, they don't do anything about it. And if God is speaking to you as a Samuel, he's trying to bring you into interaction with him. He's trying to bring you into another dimension. He will first come to you as Samuel, and he will say, Samuel, Samuel. If you don't acknowledge Samuel, Samuel, he won't tell you the sentence. Many people are waiting for the sentence of God, but they have not heeded to the word of God. Just one word, just one sentence, just one idea, just something that is quickened on the inside of you, just something that you read from scripture. Because you see, if it is written, it is for our good. And most times, when you don't do what is written, you cannot hear what is spoken. Many times people are looking for what God is saying, like a spoken thing. Oh, pastor, what do you see about me? What do you think about that guy? What do you think about my marriage? What do you think about my job? But you see, many times people have forgotten that if you can even base yourself on the written word of God, you'll be fine. Do you know that God is even able to lead you in today, in 2025, in a very practical way, just by following what is written? Several years ago, when I was praying to God, not like a long time prayer. I mean, I got born again on a Sunday, and as I left the place that I got born again, I asked God, what do you want me to do for you? I mean, this is me asking God inside me. And immediately, like not long, just few seconds or minutes, I heard him say to my spirit, because I knew that, that must only be God. And God told me to join what we call Sunday school department then. And for me, because of the way I am, personally speaking, in the way I grew up, I'm a normally shy man, shy person, okay? So for God to say, for me to hear that I should join that department must only be God. Because me as a human being, I will not use my two legs and walk into trouble. No, because how can I hold mic and face people and be talking to people? No, and I've grown up in the house of people that hold mic and all of that. And I've held mics as a child. You know, you come and read what Diamond did today, or Burke, what he did today. You know, I will do that. But in those days, I don't even know whether it's me that is speaking or the word that is just coming out by itself. Somehow, I'll just live through it. So God told me to do that. Now, when God told me to do that, in that Sunday school thing that God told me to join, I started to give God excuses. But God, you know that I cannot face people. You know that I can't even look at people. I mean, I remember many years that before that time, somebody told me that, why don't I look straight into their eyes? I think part of it is cultural, because I grew up in a culture that when you look at people's face, you say, you are looking at me. I'm talking to you. You are looking at me. As if, no, if you are talking to me, it's you that I should look at now. Should I be looking at this silly? But I think that culture is changing now. You know, so partly that and partly because I was a shy person. But God now led me. Because in those days, for me, I would just enter my father's library. And it doesn't have to be like that for you, but I'm getting somewhere with that. And then I would just randomly, it's not like I'll see many animals. I would just go there and say, what thing will I read? And I would just pick something without premeditation. And that day I picked this, I think it's a concordance now that I'm around church things. I think it's a concordance. And I picked this thing, then I opened. For some weird reason, I landed in Exodus. In Exodus about 4. Where Moses was telling God the same thing I told God. I said, God, you know I'm a slow man of slow speech. You know I can't speak. And God responded to him. And that was his response to me too. That am I not the one that made you? Am I not the one that made your lips? So where I'm getting to in that is that in 2025, God can still be relevant with his written word. So the last instruction of God, the instruction of God in scripture, can still be very valid for you in 2025. So if you are relating to Jonah, you will see that God is the God that gives instruction. And when God gives instruction, what God wants is that that instruction should be carried out. You need to understand that with God's instruction, God speaks to redeem. Every time God speaks or anything you see in scripture, whether you are able to do it or you are not able to do it, in that scripture, there is power to make it happen. In that word, there is power to make it happen. So instead of giving the kind of response, and there are several responses that you can give to what God says. One of the responses you can give to what God says is the first response that Jonah gave to God. One of the responses is to run away, is to go in the opposite direction of what God has said. And can I tell you the truth? Many of us are still doing that today. Many of us are still going in the opposite direction of what God has said. And you see, there are reasons why we'll do that. We will get there, but you will see that in the story of Jonah, the reason Jonah wanted to disobey God was not the distance of the place. The reason was not that the place was called Nineveh. The reason was that even Jonah wanted those people to be punished. Jonah felt that they deserve it. You know, sometimes the reason we don't do what God has told us to do is that there is a valid reason why we shouldn't do it. There is a valid reason why that person that spoke to you wrongly should also taste what they have done to you. You know what I mean? There's a valid reason why what they did to you, God should also show them.
You know, some of us, we feel like, you know, they've done me so bad. I understand what Jesus said, though. Forgive them, for they don't know what they do. But this one, they know what they do. And so, Father, forgive them, but punish them. You know, you don't use those words, but that's how we feel. And the reason why we sometimes walk in the opposite direction of what God said is that, really, it should serve them right. Really, they should get, there is a valid reason of what is going on. There is a valid reason of you not responding to God. The wife is not speaking right. You know what I mean? She can be nagging. So what is the, why should I now obey the word of God that says, husband, love your wife? I know that that's what the word of God says. But excuse me, the word of God did not know that my wife, the word of God didn't put my wife's name there. I believe what the word of God is saying is that, well, if your wife is nice, if your wife does not have my name, this kind of name, if, let me find a name that I don't know that the person is in this place. But if I use that name and you are that person, maybe your middle name, I don't know you, I'm just using it. Nancy. And you are saying to God that, excuse me, Lord, if my, I believe that scripture would have been valid if that my wife's name is not Nancy. And so because of that, what are we doing? We are going in the opposite direction. We are doing exactly opposite what God has called us to do. And this morning, God is saying, you are also Jonah. So before you quickly look at Jonah and think about, is one of those prophets in the Bible that God told you to do something and he didn't do it. I'm asking you that you are also Jonah. Or maybe let's flip it like this. Ask yourself, am I a Jonah? Am I a Jonah in the things I'm doing in my house? Am I a Jonah in the things I do in the house of God? Is there something I am running away from? Is there something that I am walking in the opposite direction of what God called me to do? Is there something that God has said, this is how it is. I know what is right. You know, one of the things that I found out is most people, most church people, we know what is right. We know what is wrong. But usually, the disconnect is that we don't do what is right. We don't do what we're supposed to do. We are more hearers than doers. Exactly the picture of Jonah. You remember that the scripture started with the word of God came. He heard. So when the Bible says, be hearers, be not hearers alone, but doers also, he's also saying, are you a Jonah? That's the question there. And this morning, I'm asking you that question. Are you a Jonah? Or where are you a Jonah? Because you can quickly say, well, I've done it. But there may be an area where you're a Jonah. Even for me, there's an area I'm a Jonah. I mean, I was talking to somebody this past week, and something, the person said something to me, and I was pleasantly surprised because I had already had a response, and my response was like, the violent ticket me by force. I am the son of the lion of the tribe of Judah. And then this person came and told me something that a lamb will say. And say, ah, if they said, if there's a problem, I'm going to go and apologize. Me, I was not going to go and apologize. I was going to state my case. Because the word of God says, bring your strong reasons and state your case. And you know, some of us, we were runaway lawyers. We should have been lawyers. I really, really believe. Sometimes when I see one of my children behave like a lawyer, I'm like, oh my God, oh my God. It's like this boy wants to do what me I'd eventually do. Because I can be very logical and I can bring reasons. I can even prove it from scriptures. Okay? But sometimes the simple part, the simple thing you should do is not bring strong arguments, strong reasons. The simple things, maybe that day that God is calling you to do is to be a lamb. And what? Say, I'm sorry. Hello? I say, you can go. You are free to go. So this morning, God is asking you. God is saying to me, are you a Jonah? Is there anything I have said to you or I'm saying to you that you are running away from? So when you see God speak, God speaks to redeem. God's instructions are also not suggestions. Oh, God's instructions are not suggestions. When we come to like Tehillah, we hear words, God says some things. They are not suggestions. They are instructions and it will work for us. You see, when God speaks, our response to what God says must not only be verbal accent, but actual performance. Sometimes we can be verbal with God. We can just hear and we pretend as if we have not heard. And the proof
that you have heard is action. So many years ago, you know, I think I was in Bible school or seminary. I heard this statement, and it never left me, that the proof of preaching is action. That any preaching you hear here, and there is no action for you, or you don't take any action, you have not really heard. There is always something for you there. If you are that kind of person that every instruction that comes from scripture or comes from preaching or comes from the word to you or from God to you, you always think it's for the other person. There's a problem there. I am a Jonah too. I am part of it. It also relates to me. Even in places where I think I am obedient, maybe I can be more obedient there, because every instruction of God, every instruction of scripture is so that there will be an actual action towards that instruction of scripture. Another thing I want you to know this morning, as you consider that you are also a Jonah, is that God's instruction is a combination of what he has said and what he's saying. God's instruction is a combination of what he has said and what he's saying. There are many people that want to only deal with God on what he's saying currently. And that is good. But you are not still going to be obedient. You will still be completely a Jonah if you're only working with the present, if we are only working with only what he's saying now. There are also other things that he has said before. And everything combines together. Everything combines together. It's as if it is the Old Testament and the New Testament that makes the fullness of that word of God. No instruction of God is without significance. No instruction. No matter how simple, no matter how uneventful as it comes, no matter how it comes as if, well, you know, he wasn't really saying that. No matter how it looks, no word of God is without significance. It was in Luke chapter 1 verse 37 that the angel was speaking to Mary. And Mary said, "How shall these things be?" Can you give it to me? Luke chapter 1, 37. Luke 1, 37. "How shall these things be?" And then the angel responds, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." A translation says, "No word of God shall be without power." Every word of God, every instruction of God is powerful enough and is expected that you and I will obey it. You and I will do something about it. It's not significant. You see, in fact, I have found out that instructions that people think are insignificant really carry a lot of weight. In fact, in the final analysis of it, that is the major thing. For example, which is the place we are going to eventually get this month. One instruction of God to you, to me, is this: love your neighbor as you love yourself. It's very simple, but very profound. You'll be surprised how many less prayer points people will have only if they obey that scripture. You'll be surprised how many more victories people will have only if we obey that scripture. Because do you understand that one of the highest kind of prayers that you can pray is a prayer of agreement? Do you know one of the reasons why we come to church is not just because we like the building, it's because of the people. And the reason you are coming to church with some people is so that you will agree together in corporate prayer. When the Bible was speaking in Acts chapter 4, the Bible said that when they had put them in prison, by the time you get to Acts chapter 25, the Bible said they went back to their own company. In another word, they went back to church. And when they went to their own company, the Bible said they all lifted up their voice. They all lifted up. There was a unity of spirit. And when they all lifted up their voice, by the time you got to the end of that chapter, the Bible said there was great power. There was great grace. There will be great power. There will be great grace if we obey that scriptures. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's very simple. It looks like, some of us even recite it again and again. We put it on our mouth. It's verbal. It's something we hear. It's as if the word of the Lord came. We hear it, we speak it, we say it, and that's it. But we don't do it. And this morning, God is saying, are you a Jonah? Because you are a Jonah, when you say it, you hear it, but you don't do it. You are a Jonah when you know it and you can even preach it, but you don't do it. Because you see, it is not the preacher of the word that is blessed. It is not the speaker of the word that is blessed. It is not the one that posts this on social media that is blessed. Because we are very quick to do that, right? Take a selfie, put caption. Very, very thoughtful caption. And I like it. But I wish we had thoughtful actions. The caption is more thoughtful than the actions. If we have more thoughtful actions, if we have more actions that are in line with the word of the Lord, we will not be Jonah. And this morning God is saying, are you a Jonah? Simple instructions, but yet people will not obey. There's also another instruction this morning that God is giving us, and I hope you obey that. And it's his instruction to praise him. Ladies and gentlemen, you are a Jonah if you like to complain. Because you see later on in the story of Jonah that Jonah likes to see what is wrong. He will not see what is right. One of the biggest problems of Jonah is that he sees, but he chooses what to say. He would rather see and say the one that is not good. He would rather see what is bad. He will not see what is good. He will not even see a good God. He will see a God that is too lax. It's as if the God is helping people that don't even know him. He's a complainer. He's someone that always has prayer requests. But when the requests become testimony, he doesn't have prayer reports. There are more prayer requests in church today and less prayer reports, praise reports. You need to come back doubtlessly. You see, that percentage that we saw in Luke 17 about only one leper coming back, that percentage has not changed. I think it's even getting smaller. The ingratitude in the church is increasing day by day. Of course, it's end time prophecy. In the latter days, men shall become lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. Men shall become ungrateful. Ungrateful. Ungrateful to God, ungrateful to people. Men shall soon move on. Men shall think about what is happening lately. What has gone done lately? There is sometimes when you meet a brother, when you meet a sister, and the brother is depressed, the brother is sad, you will have thought that something major happened. And you soon find out that it's something minor that is happening. And what God has done is much more than what God has done. But soon we forgot. We are like the children of Israel. The same on their way out of Egypt. Just how many days have they left Egypt by the time they got to the Red Sea? It's not a year long. It's not even months. Days. And they soon forgot the God that brought them out of Egypt. And they started to like where it took them away from more than where it's taking them to. Are you a Jonah? That's the language of Jonah. That's how Jonah speaks. Jonah talks as if God has not shown up. Jonah will say something like, well, look at so and so. They don't even know God. That's why they are living like that. And me that I know God, what has God done for me? I've even heard some people say things like, all these things that they told us not to do, don't touch, don't this before you get married. What about somebody that didn't do and they are now married? And some people that follow those principles, they now marry and look at what is going on. And sometimes I'm asking myself, excuse me, is the wrong marking script you are looking at? There's no comparison. There is no comparison. And the fact that I know God does not mean that tribulation will not come. The fact that I am for God does not mean that adversity will not come. The only thing that I know is that the one who holds tomorrow holds my hand. And if because he leaves, I can face tomorrow. Not that tomorrow will be without challenges, because many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord, he delivers him from them all. So I will not be a Jonah and be talking nonsense before God. Even Job, sir. Job. At the point, God had to tell him that even with all the things that you have gone through, and you know, we saw the backstory of Job. And most of our lives, you have not seen the backstory. You don't know what God is doing with your life. You don't even know whether God has gone to boast to the devil and say, excuse me, have you seen tribe? And tribe will now say, God, why are you? God is like, calm down. You are in a test. Oh, God, you are silent. In a test, when the invigilator is silent, he cannot be helping you to do the test. So you do the test. Just shh. Let me finish. And you're like,
No. Even in the case of Job, God later came and said, excuse me. Why are you darkening counsel? Were you there? Job said, excuse me, sir. I withdraw my statement. And I hope some people will withdraw their statements this morning. Because there is another command. And I want us to fulfill that command this morning. Philippians chapter 4. My dear brother and son already started with it. Philippians chapter 4. I am Jonah, or am I Jonah? Am I Jonah today on my marriage? Am I Jonah in my academics? Am I Jonah in my spiritual walk with God? Am I Jonah? Am I complaining? Am I running in the opposite direction? Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. I thought you brought it up and you took it again. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. This is not a suggestion. This is an instruction. And many times, many people walk the other way. Sometimes some people even walk to the middle way. They do prayer, supplication, but it is with thanksgiving. We need to have thanksgiving way. It says that's where how you make your request known to God. And even after he has answered that request, you need to come back to him with thanksgiving. Enter his court with praise. Enter his court with praise. Enter his court with, be grateful unto him, for it is he that made us, we didn't make ourselves. I'm grateful. I'm thankful for where I am today. Because if you are thankful, it will multiply. Every time Jesus will want to do a miracle, most of the things he will say is usually, Father, thank you. The summary of most of his miracle before any declaration is, Father, I thank you. You know, he said, Father, I thank you. He didn't even pray over the bread and say, Father, multiply it. He just gave it to them and told them to go and share it. After he has said, Father, I thank you. But there are so many people in the midst of lack, in the midst of problem, they feel that it is when the problem is solved that he should come and say thank you. Even before the problem is solved, you should say thank you. And more importantly, when the problem is solved, you should return back and say thank you. You should let God know that he did it. You should let others also know that God did it. Because there's a way that when God has done something, we now want to start a master class and tell everybody how to get your breakthrough. You know, some people have always been like, the way Pastor Yi stands in that place, he can fall. But it's not possible. I will not fall. Amen? Somebody has told us that falling is not good in the morning. So I won't fall. But God is calling you. God is calling me. And he's asking a question this morning. Are you a Jonah? And you are a Jonah when you are walking in the opposite direction of God, what God has said. And there is an instruction this morning. So that when it is time for praise, don't leave it to them. See yourself there. See yourself in it. See that you too, you need to give God your own. Oh, but they are already dancing. It seems like the dance quota has been fulfilled. Who told you that God is counting like that? God is expecting yours too. You are also supposed to jump into that river and become part of it. I want you to bow down your heads where you are. And let God show you areas where you have been walking in the opposite direction. Areas where you are, for a lack of better terms, you are a Jonah. Let God show you those areas. There are things he has said, there are things he is saying, and your response is completely opposite to what he's saying. You should be telling him, Lord, have mercy on me. I repent. I will do the first works. I won't wait like Jonah. I won't let it be too long before I go retrace myself and go the right way. And more importantly, this morning, I don't want to be a Jonah in my response to you, especially response to thanksgiving and praise. There is an instruction to give thanks. I will just comply. I'm going to praise you. In fact, right now, I will say thank you. I'm saying thank you to you for that which you have done. Even what I think is not enough, I'm still grateful for that. I'm really, really grateful. Thank you, Father. If you're also in this house this morning, you're saying, I don't even know Jesus, or my relationship with Jesus is not good, I want to pray for you. I want you to put your hands on your chest, and the whole church will say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. I accept you as my Lord and personal Savior. From today, by your help, I will live for you. In Jesus' name, amen.